We pray, God, that we will find our life in your word. Please, God, again, help us to understand. Help us, Father, that we can go out and help someone. And, Father, we pray that as others join with us, that certainly, God, we will form a community of believers and warriors, soldiers, that will fight the good fight of their faith. God, even today, we pray that you would save someone. Someone, Lord, that might even come in off the streets and declare, what must I do to be saved? God, we pray that the opportunity for ministry will be presented to us and we'll take full advantage. Please, God, again, help us. God, bring to us understanding and wisdom and intelligence. These things we ask because we know that you hear and answer our prayers. And God, by faith, we believe that it is so. It is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you again. Let's do a little backtracking for just a moment on last week. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 for just a brief encounter, and then we're going to move right on. Again, we're looking at building Christian character and developing our lives that we might become and that we are indeed destined to be the righteousness of God, and we are going to make a difference because we know better. And when you know better, you can do better. Amen. And we got to want to do better. Amen. All right. 2 Chronicles, if you will, chapter 26. Again, I have a New Living Translation. And pray God that you'll follow us with what you have so you can kind of see. I wanted to bring up a couple of things that we talked about. Again, the key element for us we've been talking about is the learning part, the teach me. And, you know, we asked the question last week if you could insert a name or two when we talk about who taught me this or I learned this from whomever. So there's always somebody who influences us. But I wanted to bring a key point to you. When you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5, and this is what it says, and we'll just look at it once again, then we'll talk it out. It says, Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as the king sought the Lord, God gave him success. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, think about that. There's not a person in this room that doesn't want to be successful. Not one person. I mean, if you're in here and you don't want to be successful, you're cheating yourself. You're not cheating anybody else. You're cheating yourself. But the key element that we talked about was that as long as he sought God, as long as he sought God, James Cleveland has a song that says, I don't feel no ways tired. And that's a nice song, but your life's got to be more than a song. There has to be some sense of stability, some sense of sincerity, a level of commitment that's not for the faint of heart. And even Isaiah talks about that. You know, he says that those who are truly committed to God, they're going to be able to run and not faint. They're going to be able to endure. Paul talks about it with Timothy. He says, listen, you got to endure hardness like a good soldier. Now, some people have been in the military. Some people have not. But the reality for us is what jumps off of verse 5, what comes off the pages, is that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. How many of you have ever stood in front of the refrigerator staring at everything? You put it in there. But you staring at it. How many of you ever stood in front of a cupboard staring at everything? Been in the store? Have you ever went in the store and forgot what you went in the store for? Why does that happen? Lack of focus. It's not Alzheimer's. No, I pray God it's not Alzheimer's. You know, I saw a report on TV the other day that said they have found, they did a study somewhere, I think it's in Canada somewhere, but they're finding traces of early onset Alzheimer's in people in their 20s. That may explain that our parents beat us for nothing. We really didn't remember. They might have beat Alzheimer's into us, but it's not Alzheimer's. It's what you want. You lose focus. The Bible says this, once you have put your hands to the plow, you can't look back. You got to stay focused. How many of you have a driver's license? How many of you have been driving down the road and lost your focus? Ended up on the shoulder, or almost run into the back of somebody. You know, they're making cars now that will almost drive for you. You know, they'll stop for you and all that kind of stuff. You got to buy the right kind of car. They do not put that in Vegas. It's got to be a Mercedes or a BMW or something like that. But here's my point. This is what he wanted. There are too many people who are well-meaning Christian disciple possibilities that just don't know what they want. We jump from church to church to church because the hot and popping pastors over here, or they got a great choir over here, or they got a beautiful sanctuary over there, or they just built a church over here. And we just go, no matter who we sit under, no matter what church we're in, no matter how many programs we go to, if we don't know what we want, we're not going to get nothing. And if you don't stay focused, you're going to just wander all over the place. And God wants to give you success. What does God say about that? I know the plans I have for you. They are wonderful plans. Isn't that something? And you know, not everybody got plans for you like that. How many of you know people that as long as you're doing good, they'll let you do good if they're doing good? But when they're not doing good, they hate on you. Okay? So he says it's because Uzziah stayed focused. And some of us are easily distracted. And so what I wanted to bring back to you is this is the key. You've got to stay focused. Two things go together. Three things if we stretch. Focus and faith go together. If you're faithful, you can stay focused. And if you're faithful and stay focused, you can always go forward. You will make progress. None of us should still be in the infancy of our relationship in the Lord if we've been with the Lord for any length of time. Paul addresses that when he says to the church, he says, you should be on solid stuff by now. He said, but because of your lack of focus, because you did not exhibit faithfulness, I've had to keep you in an infancy state. Aren't you tired of baby church? I mean, come on, we've been in a church. You know, we are at a point in our lives where we really ought to be growing up. Amen. And especially in relationship to the things of God. Again, because what we said we wanted was to develop lives, to bring about a biblical principle that happens through training and spiritual principle and practice. I said I was going to take a marker and write practices up here because that's really what needs to happen. Because after you got the principles, you got to put them into practice. Listen, let me tell you something. You can quote and tote your Bible all you want to, but if you ain't living worth nothing, it ain't worth nothing. It ain't worth nothing if you can't be a light. Amen. All of you should be able to preach one sermon. All of you should be able to teach somebody. All of you should be able to bring somebody to Christ, and they ought to stick and stay. Amen. How many of you remember joining sororities and fraternities and organizations because your friends invited you? And they taught you the secret handshake. You know, one of my favorite cartoons when I was growing up was the Flintstones. Fred and Barney would remember the Royal Order of Buffalo. They were committed to that thing. You know, when they put them hats on, Wilma and Betty didn't stand a chance. And they would get in there and do the handshake and do the little chant. They were committed. They went to every Royal Order of Buffalo meeting. No matter what happened. We don't even do that with God. We are pathetic sometimes when it comes to God. Why? Because we don't understand principles. We don't put into practice. I said to you some time ago that one of the simplest things you could do is that which is practical. This thing works. It works. Uzziah got success because he knew principle and practice. Everybody ain't going to go to the pulpit. Everybody ain't going to be chief on the committee. But the Bible says you are light, you are salt, but you got to stay focused. And then he teaches us, he says, you know, what is critical for us is that God gave it to me. How many of you have ever gotten upset with your children or someone that you gave something of value and they let it go to nothingness? It frustrates you because you know what you gave them. And you know God's got to be looking at us sometimes and saying to himself, look at them. I gave them the keys to the kingdom. And they're doing nothing. If my people who are called by my name, yeah, we all know that one. We chanted it. But what are we doing with what God has given us? Your treasure is too important. You can't lose your focus because you're not committed. You're not consistent. Those things are choices. Everybody has to make their choice. And so he said, you know, God gave me something. And look at your pew partner and tell him, I got this. Yeah, I got this. Why? Because God gave me something. And God doesn't have to give everybody the same thing. The Bible says when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. Don't walk around here like you ain't got nothing. Dragging your feet, wearing out the soles, pulling up our good plush power carpet with your heels. You got something. And so he says, you know, God gave me success. As long as he was faithful, as long as he stayed focused, he kept going forward. How many of you have ever been in a place that you don't want to stay too long? There's a song, Jess, you know, we do them. If I ever get out of here. Yeah. Thank you, Melvin. If I ever get out of here. You got to want to get out of some places. Can I tell you why churches are not full anymore? Can I tell you why people are not coming? They like where they are. You got to like, listen, if I didn't like it, I'd leave. I've walked out of restaurants, movie theaters. I've walked out of relationships. Sister Mitchell, I'm still here because I'm focused in the name of Jesus. You know, the fact of the matter is, if I don't like it, I'm not going to stay. I can decide. I'm smart enough. And if I like it, I know I'm going to stay. That's why I still love the Lord. That's why I'll come to church, whether anybody else comes or not. I'll preach like it's 500 if we ain't got but 50. Because what God promised me has nothing to do with what you do. But it has everything to do with what he asked me to do. And you ought to feel the same way about it. Don't get caught up in that crowd mentality. Are you going to go? No, I ain't going if you don't go. I don't need you. Don't look at nobody right now. They take it the wrong way for sure. Let's go on a little further. Let's go over, if you will, please, to Jeremiah chapter 7. Go to the right. Jeremiah chapter 7. This is going to help you a little bit because the fact of the matter is, most of us are not committed to Bible learning at the level we ought to be. Now, I'm not saying that to start no trouble with you. If you get to Lamentations, you went too far. What I'm saying to you is, I can help you. God wants to help you. The Bible says he gave pastors so we can help you. Amen. How many of you remember your favorite school teacher? Some of you, as old as you are, you still remember your favorite school teacher. Why? They helped you. Remember last week when we said, insert a name. Who taught you this? I remember English. I remember world history, geography. You know, all of those things because those people had influence. I looked forward to going to third period and all that kind of stuff. You know, some of us only look forward to two classes in high school, lunch and P.E. Some of y'all got an A in lunch. Some of y'all got an F in lunch. But, I mean, you know, it was where you were most impacted that you had the most commitment to. So let's look at Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 7, did I tell you what chapter? Chapter 7. Come down to verse 27. Now, this is, again, what we got to deal with in the modern day church. We're not away from this. We're still in this. Verse 27. Again, I have a New Living Translation. Follow me where you are. Tell them all this, but do not expect them to listen. Now, if you go back and look at the preceding verses, you can see that God is laying down a pretty good case against the people. There's always some blessing in there, but he said, tell them all of it. Can I tell you something? You stay away from churches where all you get is cake and ice cream. You stay away from shout houses and where they want to, soon as you join the church, they want to take you in the back and teach you how to praise dance or teach you how to speak in tongues. No, stay away from that because that's not good principle. You need to be in a church where they tell you all of it. How many of you have been to court? Got sworn in. What do they ask you? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth? You need all of it. You need to know that adultery, sexual immorality, thievery, not treating your husband right, not treating your wife right, not treating all of that, God is concerned about. You don't want to be in a ministry where people tell you, well, as long as you come, you are right with us. No, you need to be in some place where we can say, that's wrong. We need to be in a place where we understand the righteousness of God is the righteousness imputed to us. He wants you to have it. Wouldn't you rather be around a bunch of righteous people than a bunch of heathens? He says, so tell them all this, but look at what God says immediately after giving the man of God that instruction. He said, but they're not going to listen. My grandmother used to say to us things like, I talk to y'all till I'm blue in the face. You know, sometimes I think we pressed her so we could see what blueness looks like. You know, my dad used to say that sometimes the more I teach y'all, the dumber I get. Y'all ever heard that one? My dad was a genius. We trademarked that one. But listen to what he said. He said, tell them, but they're not going to listen. How many of you know stubborn people? How many of you that are raising your hand know somebody know you? Some of y'all that know people, you're their choice. They pick you. Watch what he says. He says, shout out your warnings. Y'all come on back to church. But don't expect them to respond. God knows us, doesn't he? He says, tell them, but they're not gonna listen. Shout the warning, they're not gonna respond. Watch this. He says, say to them, this is the nation whose people will not obey the Lord their God and who refuse to be taught. Truth has vanished from among them. It is no longer heard on their lips. Wow. What are we going to do? How many of you have ever tried to teach somebody something or to bring about a better character or to improve their quality of life, and they just won't do nothing? You should keep note of chapter 7, verse 27, 28, and 29, really, because God knows the character of his creation. I had a conversation with my wife and daughter the other day, and we all came to this conclusion. Of all the things God created, which one is the only one that turned on him? Man, cows don't rebel against God. Flowers, trees, oceans. We're the only one. Something wrong with us. Look at your neighbor and say, no, don't do that. Don't do that. But notice what he says. He said, listen, but don't expect them. Listen, what do you do with people or things that you don't expect a response from? What do? You usually just say, okay, I'm done. I give up. If I'm going to do something with you or we're going to do something and I don't expect you to do your part or to listen to me, I just say, you know what? I save myself the trouble. And this is why pastors and leaders in our churches all over the country are not having Bible studies anymore. How many of you know churches that don't have Bible studies anymore? They don't have prayer meetings anymore? Because they don't expect, they said, you know what, man, they don't need me wasting my time. I'll just be pastor and let them be people. Because they're not going to listen. They got frustrated because Bible study classes got smaller and smaller and smaller. And they felt like it was a waste of time. But as I said to you before, if I'm the only one coming to Bible study, I'm going to get something out of it. But you can't quit. But God knows them. He said, don't expect them to do the right thing. Shout at them, but don't expect them to respond. Know what he's saying? He's saying, men of God, leaders, teachers, Christian ministry people, stay focused. We do it in our churches oftentimes. We plan events and only a few people show up, and it's kind of frustrating, but stay focused. You know, we do health fairs and financial fairs and marriage, and people don't come. You know, we did it a few weeks ago, and only a few stay focused. Keep your hand to the plow and stay focused, because what we have is worth it. Yeah, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God, we got the word. Amen. And God says, I know that's how they are. But stay focused. He says this. He says, O Jerusalem, verse 29, shave your head in mourning and weep alone on the mountains, For the Lord has rejected and forsaken this generation that has provoked his fury. Let's not let that happen. If God's going to be able to count on somebody, let that somebody be you. Because again, I'm convinced of God that if we are going to develop and strengthen people, we got to be developing and strengthening ourselves. Amen. You listen, you can't ride a horse when you're weak. Don't miss that. How many of you ever seen the cowboy movies with a cowboy in bad shape and he fall off the horse? Ain't nothing wrong with the horse. He weak. You know, and then sometimes they tie him to the horse, you know, and slap the horse. But listen, you can't ride if you're weak. So you got to get your strength. And so what's happening to the church? There's nothing wrong with the gospel. There's nothing wrong with God. We're just weak. And so if we can't ride, we can't do nothing. If we can't get our strength together because we're weak and feeble, we can't carry this good news. How many of you have ever been really bad off sick and wanted to do something and found yourself unable to do so? You know, how many of you ever been so sick that you fell out, passed out, you know, tried to hang in there and then wound up on the floor? And somebody came in and asked you the stupidest question, what are you doing? I just thought I'd lay down here. Why not? But you're weak. So what is going to have to happen to us is we're going to have to get stronger. And that's what the word of God, we are not going to get stronger just singing songs and clapping our hands. We're not going to get stronger because we build prettier churches and hang more chandeliers and all that kind of stuff. We're going to need word. And we're going to have to eat this word and live this word. And I'm going to tell you something now. If you don't love it, you can't live it. If you don't love it, you can't live it. Okay? So he says, okay, this is the battle of our minds. We watch commercials. We watch television. And we can remember stuff from those incidents or those moments. Most commercials are about 30 seconds. And we can probably, most of us can remember the whole commercial. We can remember the whole commercial. It's just 30 seconds. And we can remember it. We can quote it. You know, we sing the song, the jingles. Why? Because we catch it. And it's you know, the advertising agency, Madison Street, has figured out, commercials are louder. You know, when they come on, they're louder, you know. And so you kind of find yourself sticking your head back in the room. It's proven that the Super Bowl commercials oftentimes get more attention than the Super Bowl. And that's how we wind up singing our little songs, because we remember the commercials. But can you remember the word of God? Can you at least take snapshots of the gospel so you can hum that in your head? You know, that old last song mentality, you know, when you get out the car, the last song that was playing, you can't get it out of your head. Can you do that with the word of God? Not if you don't pay attention to it. Not if you don't love it. How many of you have a favorite commercial? Okay, y'all trying to play funny now. Y'all, everybody, you know, it's just that one that, you know, when it comes on, it just does something for us. You know, one of mine for years was them little two fat little camel soup girls. Oh, I'm not politically correct when you say fat. Proportionately odd or something like that. But, you know, good, good. That's what camel, and we remember that. Watch this. My baloney has a first name. See? You remember. And they ain't played that commercial in years. Oh, I wish I were a. That is what I truly. You know, think about that. You're going to get eaten. You got a really short lifespan if you're Oscar Mayer win. It's not going to last long. And so the point of the matter is, you can remember that. But what about the word of God? What snapshots do you have? It's the battle for your mind. And sadly, when you look around the church, the gospel ain't winning. But we can do something about that if we make a decision. It's the battle. And that battle does not end. The Bible says this, let this mind be also in you that is in Christ Jesus. But if you don't love him, that's not going to happen. If you don't want to live it, that's not going to happen. I am convinced that what we do becomes so obvious based on the routine of what we do. People who like football teams buy football paraphernalia. You know, they put on their jerseys, they put on hats and all that kind of stuff on game day. You know, we don't have a major football program here in our city, but in cities where they have large football teams, my friends who pastor in Jacksonville, Florida, they altered their services on Sundays when the Jaguars play at home, and they sorry, and people still go to the stadium. They don't have 11 o'clock services very much, not churches who, you know, they know what's going to happen. So on the Sundays when they have home games, they have 8 o'clock church. And folk come to church dressed to go to the football game. They come in their teal and whatever gold because as soon as church over, and Reverend, you better not overdo this because we got to get to the tailgate party. Can you imagine what happened if we tried to do that with the Lord? What an impact we would have. Not just wearing our crosses and honk if you love Jesus bumper stickers, but if our lives were so committed that we had a Jesus room in our house and had Jesus colors and all that kind of stuff, people would know. You can tell a Redskin fan. I pass them around here all the time, praying for them so fiercely that they'd meet their deliverance. You can tell Cowboy fans. I mean, y'all know I'm one. I got a Cowboy truck. But I love the Lord. And I tell people that the star that the Dallas Cowboys have proved that Jesus is Lord. Because the Bible said they followed the star. We in the Bible, church. We in the Bible. Y'all going to have to forgive me for that one. Okay, let's look at what he says. Okay, he said that's going to happen. Now, again, here's the deeper part of the text. God is saying that he doesn't expect us to respond. Can we fool the kingdom one time? Let's make verse 27 wrong. Let's respond. And I'm not saying respond by just saying amen. I'm saying let's change. What does the Roman letter say? Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If in fact there's a battle for our mind, let's transition that. Bible says we can speak as oracles of God. That doesn't mean you got to walk around quoting scripture and trying to beat people up with the word of God. Make them live with the word of God. As I said to you some weeks ago, just walk up to somebody and tell them, God loves you and I got a message for you. Remember when the internet first became popular, AOL made a killing off this one. You've got mail. Everybody was walking around and they throwed in a couple of movies. Just walk up to somebody and say, I've got a message for you. And don't stand there and tell them they're going to hell. Most of us kind of got that figured out already. But just say, listen, I just want you to know that the Lord loves you. And there's a word for you. And then, you know, and don't stand there and try to preach a whole sermon. And then move on. And then another time, say, listen, how things are going for you? That you know your life is blessed. And then people start whining, show them the other side of it. Let them whine all they want and then say, but you're still here. You know, a little something like that. You know, use the Whoopi Goldberg ministry in the role of Miss Seeley. All of the bad things that she said, but I'm still here. That's good news from the gospel. Why? Because the Bible says he preserves our lives. See, you're quoting scripture easy. All you got to do is look at what's around you, and people connect to that. And then they'll say, you know what? I'd like to go to your church because your church ain't just about killing me or judging me. Most people know what's wrong with them already. You know, you don't have to tell them they got to clean up before they come to the house of God, because most of us in here got issues. Everybody got a closet, a trunk, a storage locker, you know, all of us got something, you know, a place we keep. Excuse me. Let us pray together. So let's go to Mark chapter 4. Let's go to Mark 4. I think that this particular setting gives great explanation. How are we doing? Yeah, we're okay. It gives great explanation to the fight that we're really in. I really do. I think when we look at this, you're going to see something that's going to help us. I like Mark 4 because I think it explains in a big setting some things that we probably questioned and didn't have the strength to ask the question, but it's going to be obvious to you. It's a good read, so I want you to kind of stay with us. Beginning at verse 1, now watch this. It says, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. Not a concert, not a rally, he's teaching. Ain't no hoop contest. He's teaching. And see, we fall in love with the entertainment value of preaching. And we miss those five pillars we talked about, the enlightenment, the encouragement, the enrichment, the experience, and the empowerment. You can't chase after preachers because they can bring it. You don't need to be in an entertainment church. You need to be in an enriching church. I mean, you know, we love preaching around here. You know, we do. We love it. We got some gasoline to pour on the fire. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus was teaching, and they came. And it says, look, crowds were gathering. They weren't worried about who was teaching. I mean, he's central. He's central to the point. But teaching. We got folk in our community, and sadly within the house, that don't show up until it's preaching time. They time it. They sit around the corner. They wait till it's preaching time. I don't want to go to no Sunday school. We've been to stop calling it Sunday school. We're going to change the name about 12 times to something, but I don't need no Sunday school. Yes, you do. The fact that you're saying you don't proves you do. But he's teaching. Now watch what happens now. And it's this to me, again, in my opinion, serves as the key to unlocking this battle of the mind. There was a large crowd, such a large crowd, along the shore that he got into a boat and sat down and spoke from there. Okay, still teaching. He began to teach, still teaching the people by telling many stories such as this one. And if you have a King James, it talks about parables. So he gives a story. And so you can read the story. You know, it's just about the seed, the different levels of soil, and the different outcomes of soil. And it's really a direct connection in many ways to what we talked about in Jeremiah chapter 7, because, you know, he's teaching and he's saying this is what's going to happen. Some of them going to get it. Some of them not going to get it. Some of them don't care. You know, so it's still right there within what Jeremiah 7 says. Okay? Put your finger there and go back to Jeremiah 32. I want to show you something. Put your finger there. And turn back so you can get there. You'll make it. Jeremiah 32. I want to show you something because let's face the reality of what's really happening in the church. Okay? Because until we face reality, we can't change nothing. Okay? We can keep putting carpet on the floors and cushions on the pews, and we can keep doing all that other stuff. But if lives are not being changed, we're not doing anything. We're just making the vendor's rich. Okay. Jeremiah 32. Everybody there? Okay, watch this. Let's go down to verse 33. Verse 33 says, my people have turned their backs on me and have refused to return. Day after day, year after year, I taught them right from wrong, but they would not listen or obey. They have set up their abominable, idols right in my own temple, defiling it. Can I tell you something that I found out, and you should know this? There are churches that don't even have a crucifix in it. There are churches that don't even have Jesus' name. We have gotten to the point where we're defiling the Lord right in his own house. There are things that we're doing in churches that defile the house. And Jesus said this right there in the verse. He said, they're just defiling me right in my own house. I have talked to them day in and day out, year in and year after year, and they're just saying, forget it. Isn't that terrible? Okay, so let's go back to Mark 4. Now watch what he says. So there's a story. And he said this in verse 9 of Mark 4. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen. And here it is, and understand. There is the principle of practice. If you don't understand it, you can't do it. Now watch what he says. He says, anyone who is listening, you know what that means? Even those who are not yet of the flock were in that crowd. And Jesus is saying, anybody who's listening, he's not saying, I just want the deacons, the trustees, and the ministers. He's not saying, I just want the apostles or the disciples. Everybody else need to go on by. He said, anybody who's within the sound of my voice and is listening should do what? Make practical application of what I'm saying and then go for it. He said they should listen to me and then they should understand me. Okay, watch this. Later, verse 10, later when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples, now stay with me here, and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him, what does it mean? They asked him. That's what you need to do. Don't just sit in nobody's church and hear sermons or songs or teaching, and you don't have clarity, you don't understand, and you walk out of there. Find one of the elders, one of the other leaders, and say, listen, can I ask you a question? And can I bless you with this one? If you should happen to be the person they trust to ask, please don't make them feel like boo-boo the fool. And if you don't know, say, listen, I don't know, but let's go ask Pastor, let's go ask one of the ministers. Because learning without practical application is lost. I don't know physics. I don't know quantum theories. So if I sit in a lecture under those topics and don't know, what good is it to me? I did the three R's like most of y'all did. And so it helped me. As I said to you before, I used to argue with Mr. Peacock, my ninth grade algebra teacher, about those symbols and all that stuff. I said, listen, Mr. Peacock, the only thing I want to know how to do is count my change. He put me out several times. But I'm still winning because I can count my change. I don't know pi. I don't know. All I know is you tell me how much it is, I give you that much, give me back my change, and we're moving on. I know how to pull up my bank balance. I got an app on my phone. I can check my money all over the world. There's an app for it. But I do know this. What good is it to learn if the learning don't impress upon you greater living? They ask. And see, we got folk who sit in churches and probably in wrong churches because it's big and they got bishop, elder, overseer as the leader, and we're not understanding nothing. And you know why we know we're not understanding? Because our living don't reflect good learning. We are horrible sometimes. But they waited till later, which is fine. And they said, Lord, help us. And watch this. This is what you need to know is going to happen. Jesus says, you are permitted to understand the secret about the kingdom of God, but I'm using these stories to conceal everything about it from outsiders. You know, that's the ones who won't put their hands to the plow, the ones who are not really committed. He's kind of screening them. Be ye separate and come out from among them. He's kind of screening them. He said, listen, I'm going to ensure to you that you know the secrets of the kingdom. But I'm doing this because there are some folk who are outsiders. They don't want it. There's no need in giving it to them if they're not going to use it for kingdom building. You know, what God gives us is to build the kingdom. We are the essence of kingdom essential. In other words, what we bring makes it better. And he says, I'm doing this purposely. And watch this now. He says, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Now, this is what the scripture, this is the prophecy. They see what I do, but they don't perceive its meaning. There's Jeremiah 33. There's Jeremiah 7 again. They see it, but they don't get it. Watch this. They hear my words, but they don't understand. Uh-huh. In the day that you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. They don't understand. They hear me. Watch this. So they will not turn from their sins and be forgiven. That's how critical the word is. You don't need to get on a line. You don't need to be sprayed with nothing. You don't need to be greased down to get salvation. All you need to do is open up your mind, open up your ears, open up your heart. You can be saved. You don't need to tarry. You don't need no back room. You don't have to wait till the apostle come back through on the circuit. You just got to listen. Open up to God. Be the difference. And he says, if you don't, you're not going to be saved. You know, again, we got to go back and look at what we're calling salvation in the church. Because what we did that's wrong is we call membership salvation. And membership ain't salvation. Just because you come to church don't mean you saved. I don't care who told you that. They lied to you. Salvation is only in Christ Jesus. There is no other name by which men can be saved except that name. And it is the name of Jesus. And unless you listen to him, unless you come follow me, like he said, unless you come learn of me, your character ain't gonna never change. You know, the old folk used to say, I came to Jesus just as I was. And some of us leave just like we came. And I don't mean to sound cliche-ish, but that's the truth. We're just dressing the part. How many of you ever been in a play or something where you had to play a character of some sort? You know, they give you the wardrobe and the makeup, you know, and you play the part. And when that's over, you go back to being the regular guy. But you can remember the part. You know, I was watching the Oscars just to hear glory. I don't, you know, the other stuff they could have kept. But I noticed that artists, and again, this, I'm not trying to be mean spirited, but I'm old school like some of you all. You remember back when Smokey Robinson, and Teddy Pendergrass, and yeah, them people there used to do concerts. They didn't have no thing in their ears to play their own songs. They knew their songs. These bucket heads now got to put ear fobs in so they can play their own. It must not mean anything to you. When Teddy said, come on and go with me, he was walking around with no shirt on. Come on over to my place. All out in the audience, bothering with people, you know. And he didn't have no thing in his ear. And then he would change it. He had an orchestra. And when he changed it up, you know, they caught the cue. You know, these groups now, even the band got things in their ear. Most of that stuff is all synthesized. You know, when he would break it down, man, and people scream, "Oh!" It was real. Why? It mattered to him. He knew his stuff. He learned it, lived it, and went live. We can't go live in the church no more. We piping in stuff because it ain't real to us. Our salvation should be more than just coming to church and singing a few songs. We've got to live as salt and light. And it takes character to do that. Those performers had character, man. You could tell they were into it. You know. And now what Jesus is saying is ever more relevant to the 2015 church. He said, they see what I do, but they don't perceive what it means. If you watch television or if you go to some churches, it's almost like an act. It's theatrical. And it's scary to me because what we're not doing, we're not dedicating ministries. We're not bringing people and training them to be disciples. We just want to pack the house. We just want to pack the house. There's no disciple effort. And it is crazy for us to think that we'll ever live in the body of Christ if our agenda is still our agenda. They gave everything to follow him. They gave up everything. And in 2015, church, we're not asking you to give up a whole lot of anything, really. You can keep your stuff. If it's yours, God gave it to you, fine. But where is God, if not first in your life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's still the criteria and the command and the consecrated effort on behalf of believers. If God is not first, nothing will last. He said, well, they hear me. They hear me, but they don't understand. If one of us came up here and could speak a foreign language, some of you can, and you started teaching in Korean or German, French, it ain't helping none of us because we don't understand that. It's sound. You probably got a French Bible or Korean, you know, but it's not helping us because we don't get the language. Jesus said, I'm speaking plain to them. But the reason they don't get it, because they don't want it. And so we have to be very concerned in the Christian church about what do you want? Again, back to the first thing we talked about. If you can't stay focused and faithful, you're not going to go forward. In 2015, the church is stagnant and the waters are starting to smell real bad because there's no stirring. There's no real activity. We are casual and easily disconnected. All it's going to take is the temperature in the church ain't right. It's too hot in there. Till they get that air conditioning, I ain't going back. It's cold. You know, we're temperate. If it's too cold, we ain't going. If it's too hot, we ain't going. So we got to get it just right. It's like the porridge in those three bears' house. Goldilocks should be charged with breaking and entering, by. Just so y'all should know, as a former trooper, I'm gonna get her. So he says, all right, watch this. We're almost there. He says that it is a deliberate defiance that keeps the doctrine of discipleship from being delivered to those who are most desperate for its effect.